This is Infants on Thrones.
Listener Essay.
Listener Essay. Listener Essay.
Welcome back to Infants on Thrones. I'm Glenn Ostlund, and welcome to our first ever Listener Essay Contest. Yay! Now here's how this is going to work. As it stands right now, I have 14 listener essays, and that means that for the next 2 weeks, starting today, February 7th, ending on February 20th, you will be hearing one listener essay per day, at least for those of you who listen in real time once the episode is released. And FYI, some of these essays were submitted to us without a title, so I gave them a title myself. So if you think the title of the essay is stupid, well, that's probably my fault, because damn if I don't love me some stupid. But here's the really exciting part. One of these 14 essays will win $218, because it's 2018 now, and we like to be cute and stupid about things, but we're not able to award a $2,000 prize just yet, okay? Another essay will win $109, half of the 218, and I think I actually got the math right this time, I think. And a third will win $50, and you listeners get to choose who these winners will be, and you'll also be able to give private feedback to each author. So here's how that's going to happen. After you listen to the essay today, go to our website, infantsonthrones.com, find the post for the essay that you listen to, and be sure that you have the author's name and the essay title right so that your feedback goes to the right place. Click on the survey that's associated with that essay, and it's going to be there on the post. Fill out the survey and submit it, and then sit back and breathe in and breathe out, and feel life's energy flow through you, and bask in the warm feeling of knowing that you made a difference in the life of someone brave enough to submit a listener essay to Infants on Thrones. Now, when you fill out these surveys, you're going to be asked two things primarily. One, to rate the essay on a scale of 1 to 5, and then you'll also have the opportunity to write in some of your thoughts, some of your feedback for the author. It'll only take a few minutes, and then boom, you're done. Now, you can do this for every single essay, every single one of these 14 essays. You can vote, or you can put your feedback for each one of these 14 essays, but you can only vote once for each essay. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, voting will be open through the entire month of February, even though the essays will stop on the 20th. You'll still be able to vote for the last week or so of February. On March 1st, voting will be closed, and then the winners will be announced on Saturday, March 3rd. Now, some of you may be wondering, is there a deadline for submitting essays? Well, no, not really. Now, this contest with these 14 essays, that will end with the final essay being released on February 20th. But my hope is that as you listen to these essays, you will feel inspired to make one yourself and share your unique view of the world with the rest of our listening audience. So, if you want to do that, submit it, and as soon as we get another 10 to 15 essays, we'll start another contest. How's that? Make sense? Pretty good deal, huh? And isn't that really how the world's supposed to work anyway? I mean, think of it like this. It could be kind of like if you were kneeling at an altar and you looked up and you saw this big mirror on the wall in front of you. And in that mirror, you could see not only your own reflection looking back at you, but you could see the reflection of the mirror on the wall behind you and the back of your head. And then in that reflection, you also saw another reflection of yourself, both front and back, stretching outward and onward, upward throughout all generations of time and throughout all eternity, like Rey in the new Star Wars movie, if Rey had like been at an altar and married herself. Can you marry yourself? What is that, Master Wedshin? I don't know, in some kind of a weird Mormon Jedi temple ceremony thing that distinguishes one type of nerd from other types of nerds. That's kind of what this essay contest is like. No, I don't know. Will it end? Can you submit essays forever and ever and be like Rey? I don't know. See, what did I tell you? I love me some stupid. So this is the deal. Infant Listener Essay Contest. Please participate and make this thing super special, because special isn't just a euphemism anymore, or something remarkable like that. Today's listener essay is by Leah, and it's titled My Super Excruciating Mormonism. Take it away, Leah. Or Leia, or Baya? Not Leia. Why would you lie?
I am a person who is deeply steeped in Mormonism, like waterlogged in Mormonism. A person whose life was defined, not just influenced, by the teachings and culture of this religion. Before I could even speak myself, I was being taught about this one true church and how lucky I was to have been born into it. I've spent my entire life learning, searching, pondering, and praying. Countless hours in those metal chairs, all of my major life decisions tightly coupled with exercising faith in the church. Years trying with all my might, mind, and strength to integrate these teachings into my personal values and to assimilate this culture into my identity. Honestly, it has been a process I can only describe as excruciating. Doctrines about homosexuality were always something I struggled to understand. As a 15-year-old in California in 2008, I was warned that the fight against gay marriage was the great test of faith and righteousness of my generation. Traditional families, like my own, they said, must be protected. All this talk made me uneasy. I was straight, and my family was one of these so-called traditional families, and yes, it was wonderful and worthy of protection, but something just felt wrong. Gay people didn't seem evil, or like they were threatening my family at all. As I grew older, the tension inside me increased. Even as the church became more sensitive, the strict doctrine still conflicted deeply with my conscience and my understanding of the world. I spent many nights crying, feeling my core torn in half, pleading with God to illuminate why His church would teach something that felt so wrong to me. Finally, of course, I hit a breaking point with this and with other issues I had with the church. I grew older and more sure of myself and my values. I learned to listen and trust my own conscience and experiences. I realized that no one can talk to God any more than I can. I knew that if there was a God watching me, there was no way He could be disappointed in my decision. I was doing what I knew deep inside me to be right. It was just like they told me in Sunday school about peer pressure. It can be scary to stand up for what you believe in when it goes against the grain, but to stifle what you know to be right is to stifle your own integrity. So I left the church. As many reading this will understand, it was a painful process. But, of course, any confusion or offense I may have felt when hearing anti-gay remarks in church pales in comparison to the suffering of LGBT Mormons. A deep sense of shame and self-loathing is instilled in them as they're repeatedly told that an unchosen biological characteristic of theirs is evil and wrong. They learn to repress and abhor their natural hopes and dreams, not to mention their human need of romantic connection. And too often, they're completely unable to speak up for fear of outing themselves as they get crushed over and over again by the invalidating attitudes around them. Just about everyone knows someone who has experienced the struggle, whether they know about it or not. Go looking and you'll find countless accounts of people's once healthy emotional states deteriorating into suicidal ideation. In this case, it's not only a symptom of depression, but actually an effect of these specific circumstances slowly sucking the will to live out of these people. If anecdotes don't convince you, the youth suicide statistics should speak for themselves. The much-talked-about Mormon and Gay website says this regarding the tricky situation of a Mormon parent with a gay child. Quote, unconditional love doesn't have to mean condoning, end quote. Those practicing this approach should remember that it is possible to love someone and yet harm them. By not supporting and, yes, condoning what is necessary for our children to be happy and healthy, we are hurting them. We're teaching them self-hatred and stripping them of hope for their future. The effects are too often tragic. I know Mormon doctrine intimately, and I feel it is a rich and in many ways a beautiful faith tradition. Overall, I respect it and those who cling to it. But I refuse to respect or tread around this aspect of their teachings anymore. The consequences are so much bigger than offense or disrespect. There is abuse happening. allowing gay children to be pushed to live celibate lives under the threat of salvation, no matter how much we claim to love them, is abusive. It is withholding an essential human need from them. It is threatening to their physical lives. People are trying to be more sensitive these days, but honestly, I've grown tired of well-meaning people in these communities shrugging and saying, "It's such a complicated situation. We don't know all the answers. God works in mysterious ways, and we just need to be patient for further revelation. It's certainly a trial for them and their families. I'll pray for them." As a church, we've been standing idly by through mixed messages over the years from our leadership. Some were openly hateful than others, but all of them invalidating and soul-crushing to anyone who deviates. It's a perversion, an attack on the family. Love the sinner, hate the sin. There's a plan for you and a place for you, and we love you, but you know that dream and hope that gives you the will to live? No, not that. So sure, it's just a difficult situation or a controversial issue for many of us in the church, but for the actual human beings who are the subjects of this debate, these are their lives, their most personal hopes, their most intimate dreams, their state of existence every day. It is a living nightmare for them to be expected to live their lives void of such a critical need as human attachment. We are literally killing people, just the same as if we were withholding food or water from them. In response to my leaving the church, people often suggest to me that even if it's not completely true, it's still a great place to raise a family and be part of a community. I hope it is clear at this point why I disagree. No, I do not believe the church is a good place to raise children. No, I do not believe that any amount of community activities or service opportunities make up for the pain and suffering in lives lost. When it comes to official teachings and policies, there seems to be a line in the sand. Some may try to stay and invoke change from the inside, but honestly, I can no longer stomach it, and I wouldn't blame anyone else for feeling the same way. So, to those struggling to assimilate this religious tradition with your personal values, I say this. If you don't feel right about something, really give things a second thought. Trust your conscience. Think deeply. Don't put the blinders on. Find the confidence inside yourself to live true to what you know is right. If you believe in God, He would be proud of you for doing just that. Stand up for people who are being hurt and marginalized. It's not just a matter of respect, offense, debate, or contention. It's a matter of human life.
Thank you for the listener essay, Leah. I hope you all enjoyed it. Now go to the website, find Leah's entry, fill out the survey, vote for it, give her some feedback, and then tune in tomorrow. We're going to do this all over again for 2 weeks. Eh? Thanks.
Hi, this is Hillary.
Matthew. Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley. And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear,
consider supporting us on Patreon for as little as $1 per episode, capped at whatever total amount you want to cap that at. I mean, where do you think the money is coming from to award prizes to the listener essays, huh? Pretty cool stuff we're doing on Infants on Thrones. Also,
give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did.
Anyone for the closing prayer?
Thank you for listening to
Infants on Thrones.
Infants on Thrones.
Now let's all go make some listener essays for the bestest podcast we've ever known. Though it jumped the shark a long, long time ago. It's Infants on Thrones.
It's Infants on Thrones. Thrones.
It's Infants on Thrones.
It's Infants on
Thrones. On Thrones.
Thrones.
It's Infants on Thrones.
It's Infants on
Thrones.
Thrones.